Hoodoo plant mamas, get your soul fed and your spirit red.
This here emerald trend, I possess the power from way back when. Back when folk were stripped from all of their kin, so they had to find the magic within. Ancestors gather my herbs, I conjure at my altar. Hoodoo plant mama, I manifest growth and I release trauma.
Child, we just out here trying to water our plants and mind our business, you know? Everybody ain't from the deep south, man. Everybody can't have culture like us.
Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Hoodoo Plant Mamas. I am one of your co-hosts, Leah Nicole.
And I'm Danny B.
And Danny B, how are you doing today?
I am doing okay. I'm doing okay. I washed my hair and stuff this morning, which is always it's one of my least favorite things to do. And then I got to braid it, which I'm probably going to be working on my hair for 3 days, which is fine. But I'm feeling good. It's sunny, you know, I got these big ass windows, so I can't complain. What about you?
I'm going to say I'm making it. I just started my Saturn return at the end of March, so I will be here for the next 2 years. In addition to it being the Mercury retrograde, and right now we're in a solar eclipse. I think when this comes out, we'll be out of it. But right now we're in eclipse season, so there's a lot going on over here. I just had to like take a step away from social media just because I was just like mentally, I was overwhelmed. I think that's a good word to use. I was overwhelmed.
Speaking of the eclipse, we are recording a day before that is set to happen. I should be ashamed of myself, but I didn't know that it was like a thing where you were supposed to wear special glasses for it. Like, I knew you weren't supposed to stare at the sun, but people was being real like particular about like, no, like the eclipse, like it's way more serious. So I got my special glasses. They're supposed to get here today, so I'm ready. I don't think we're going to have like a full totality or whatever, but it's going to be some, like, I think like up to 70% or something. So hopefully I'll be able to see it. All right, well, let's get into some gratitude. What are you thankful for today, Leah?
So back in October, I finished a manuscript. And I've just been letting it sit for the past 6 months because I had no idea what to do with it. And I finally figured out the missing piece. And I've just been like, oh my God. And I hope that like once I apply these changes, I will feel a lot better about this book. So I'm just grateful that I figured this out. I'm grateful to have a direction on how to revise this manuscript. And also hopefully being a step closer to polishing it up. What are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for waking up this morning. I'm grateful for the sun. Yeah, and I'm grateful for the people that love me like I love them. Yeah, that's where I am today. Today we want to talk about when your soul gets weary when it comes to like spirituality and just basically kind of losing, feeling like you're maybe losing your faith. For me, I've been thinking a lot about when I sort of made the decision that I was done with church and thinking about my relationship to Christianity, which is still complicated. I was really searching for something to make me feel like I had a purpose in the world. And I still fiercely believed in God. Like, I definitely had my moments when I questioned whether God was real, but I could never stop. Like, there was something in me that would never let me believe that there was no God, that there was no higher divine being. But when I began to learn more about hoodoo and how it had already been a part of my upbringing in a lot of ways, it felt like I had found home. And I still believe I have. Like, I think I am spiritually at home as a hoodoo, but it hasn't saved me from myself or how I relate to the world, which is at the core of what we are talking about today. I recently interviewed Juju Bay for an article, and I asked her what the biggest lesson she learned on her journey was. And she basically said that the biggest lesson she's learned is that these traditions shouldn't be romanticized, because as beautiful as it is for us to be returning to our traditions, it also gets messy. And then she also cited a book called Banning Black Gods, where it kind of discusses the ways practitioners of Black religions have been demonized, criminalized, and even been met with violence. But aside from that, I'm thinking about the messiness in terms of, like, life keeps happening to us, no matter what your spiritual beliefs are, no matter what religion you're initiated into, life gonna happen. And lately, I've been feeling like I'm reverting back to 20-something-year-old me, and I'm wondering, like, what is even the point of all this? Why would God continue to allow all this suffering and oppression happen? I am constantly tussling with with the spiritual warfare of living and existing as a Black queer person in this country. And my journey to, like, reclaiming hoodoo started as a beautiful awakening, but my ongoing journey to learning more about myself, my family, my ancestors has become really difficult. And I don't know if I mean difficult in a bad way. I feel like maybe there's this disconnect between my spiritual life and what we're witnessing in the world, in this country, in our states and towns. It makes me feel like, what's the point of even trying? You know, I do legitimately feel that way. So, Leah, has that been something you found yourself struggling with at all since you sort of came into reclaiming hoodoo?
Definitely. I think when I first started going to church less, I realized that a lot of it was I didn't like the way that Black women had been treated in my family historically. I didn't like the way that me and the Black girls around me were treated currently. And I just didn't feel like we were sinners who were better off dead because we were born, you know, with the sin of being female. And so when I came to hoodoo intentionally, I think a lot of me came with this disdain for Christianity because of the traumas that I had from being in the church. I think that disdain shows up a lot in our earlier episodes. I thought to be a hoodoo, I had to be in direct opposition to Christianity and to God, and even my relationship to the word God has changed in that, like, earlier I couldn't separate God from the white sky daddy, but now I can start to see God as this creator energy. And it took time for me to get here. It took time for me to even see the ways that, like you, how Christianity still shows up in my practice, because Christianity was a way for me to learn and to be immersed in hoodoo culture, because hoodoo is still part of the Black church. For me, when it comes to the world, I think less about how God can allow the world to happen this way and more about how we allow the world to happen this way. And I think part of the spiritual warfare is us forgetting that we are divine, that the divine lives in us, that we have the power over our own lives, that we can create change. And if all of this evil is possible, then we have to believe that good is possible too. So I think more about what our jobs is in terms of making the world a better place and making the world more hospitable for all of us. And I think about the things that we can do to get there. I don't have all the answers, I'm gonna admit, but I have been thinking more, less about, oh, how can God allow this to happen, and more about how do we allow this to happen and how can we make it stop?
That's a really good point, and something I've honestly never thought about in the way that you explained it. I think I often feel powerless a lot of the time, and and wishing God would, like, show me what I'm supposed to do for the greater good of my community. During Hoodoo Heritage Month, I was able to interview a bunch of hoodoos that I admire. And one of those people was Heslove. And they are somebody I really admire beyond just them being a hoodoo, but just as a person that seems, like, grounded in their multitudes. When I was interviewing Hes, Hess really talked about how their actual work is like an archivist, cultural preservationist. I don't know all their titles. They do a lot. They're a writer, all of that. But I do know the way they talk about hoodoo and their work is this very synergistic type relationship. Like they exist together. They work together. I think spirit is really funny in that way because I end up in these situations where I'm talking to people and in conversation, or it could be somebody I'm interviewing for my job. And I'll receive what feels like these channeled messages. It's been happening a lot. I know it's a message because it consumes me in a particular way. Like it's something that keeps coming up, like it keeps replaying. And I say all that to say that I've wondered if maybe some of my disconnect is because I've been trying to keep it all separate. I know we have this podcast and everything, but like, I'm still relatively private about my, you know, spiritual life, about being a hoodoo. Like, it's not something I introduce in conversation. I only talk really about spirituality and hoodoo either with friends or people who, after being around them, or maybe they bring it up first, who I feel is like a safe person.
I think it's funny how you don't tell anybody about the podcast because I tell everyone. But I do it with the assumption that like most people don't know what hoodoo is. And I also think that most people won't like actually listen to it. So I'm always shocked when people are like, oh, I checked out your podcast. I'm like, oh my God, I can't. Because I just assume most people are just saying it to be nice. Like, oh, you have a podcast. Okay. My family listens to this podcast. And there are times where like my mama or my sister has pulled me aside and be like, you talked about this on the show. Now, what were you saying? And da, 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 da. And sometimes it is the opportunity to kind of like educate them about things that they didn't know. But also I grew up in a family that very much believed in spirits and ancestors and things like that. Like it's not, it wasn't demonized in my family. They're very much like, oh yeah, there are spirits in our house and here are the things that you do and da da da. My grandma talked about one time waking up and her mother visiting her and being in her house with her. And I was like, I am never staying over with you again, Granny, because I do not want to see ghosts. This has just been a belief that we've all had and that we've all shared. But I think it is important to remember that we are all connected to spirit. And so when someone says something like that, that just kind of hits a certain way, I'm like, of course it did. I'm still very much a skeptic when it comes to my spiritual gifts, particularly tarot. And you've talked about this before with your relationship to tarot on our Patreon. But the last three times that I've pulled cards for myself, one card has popped out each time. And then when I've gone to other readers to like do more general messages, they kept pulling the Six of Swords. So I was like, obviously something's going on here. It's happened three times in the past 2 weeks. But like for me, I think I'm more willing to believe in other people and their connection to spirit than I am to believe in mine. So that's why I think sometimes like spirit will do that. Will be like, well, since you won't listen to me, maybe you'll listen to this person that's saying the same thing I'm telling you. Especially if we are insecure in our own abilities.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. I'm definitely not confident in my spiritual gifts, even though others can like see it in me, particularly with tarot. It kind of gets to what you were getting at about trusting other people's like connection to spirit. I feel like I suck at reading for myself. I think it's hard to read for yourself because it means you have to decipher between ego and like intuition. And I feel like ego be whooping my ass. Like I don't trust myself because sometimes there's something I want it to be and I know it's not that. And then even when I'm like, it don't mean that, it means this, I'm like, fuck these cards, and I put them up, and then, you know, it. Whatever the cards had said, they knew what they was talking about. Okay, spirit tried to tell you, and you wanted to be hard headed. So,
I would say definitely same for me. Like there have been times where I have pulled out a card and be like, oh, that doesn't mean what I think it means. And then I watch Tatiana Tarot's videos a lot. I'll watch one of her videos and the same message comes up. I'm like, fine. I guess it means what you said it meant.
Yeah, I be watching her videos too. And I say this all the time, and I probably said it on this podcast. The cars don't lie. We just lie to ourselves. And that has consistently rang true for me. Did you have any final thoughts, or did you want to go ahead and take a break?
We can go ahead and take a break.
All right, let's get into the ways you can support the Hoodoo Plant Mamas podcast. One is through our bookshop, where you can buy the books that we've discussed on the show. We have a Hoodoo Beginner's Guide. Leah and I share our top reading picks. And we have the books we discussed with our Writing the Spirit guests. Every purchase you make helps support our show. Check us out at bookshop.org/shop/Hoodoo Plant Mamas or click on the link in our show notes.
Other ways you can support us include rating and reviewing this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Hoodoo Plants and Instagram at Hoodoo Plant Mamas. Check out our Patreon, where we share exclusive video, plant, and spiritual content for only $3 a month. We have a new patron, Jane. Thank you for joining us, Jane. If you prefer a one-time donation, you can donate via Cash App, hashtag Hoodoo Plant Mamas, or our PayPal, hoodooplantmamas@gmail.com. Let's get back to the show.
So another question that I've been thinking about is, what do you do when your practice no longer looks like what it used to? I know we're supposed to be the Hoodoo Plant Mamas, but I haven't had any plants since August of 2023. I literally had to give them all away because I was moving and I couldn't bring them with me on the plane or afford to ship them properly. It's been weird because I haven't lived without plants since like 2016, 2017. I have always kept plants in my home since then because they really did something for me spiritually and emotionally. Like them being there, it's hard to explain, but it was like witnessing life in a way to remind me that I am also alive, that I'm also living, and we are living together. And us living is sort of like we thrive off of each other, essentially. That's what it felt like. So that's been weird, but I recently bought two plants waiting for them to get delivered. But I had to stop myself because I was feeling like I needed to get a whole bunch. Like I need to just go in it. But something literally said, stop, literally like relax. And I only got two, and I got two that are relatively low maintenance. I think one is like a rubber plant and the other, I don't know if it's a money tree. I don't remember, but I'll let y'all know next episode when I get here. I decided to just go with two. Because, you know, when I initially became a plant mama, I started out with one plant, a bonsai tree, and I bonded with that tree. I love that tree, and I had it for years until it died. So I was like, you know what? Let's just keep it simple. You're just getting back into it. You haven't had a plant in months. So just take it easy. So I feel like spring is becoming like my new year, new beginnings, because I got my altar back up. Y'all know I've talked about how I had took my altar down, or I hadn't had an active altar, and now I'm getting my plants back. I really believe spirit has just wanted me to slow down because I've had this tendency of thinking I have to do everything all at once. Same thing with my altar. Now I have a very simple, very humble altar. I got sand from Senegal on it, a candle and water, and then I have a little incense holder it's glass as well, so y'all probably heard that, but yeah, I got my incense. So it's very simple. I don't go to it every day, but that's because I talk to my ancestors whether I'm at the altar or not. My ancestors speak to me whether I'm at the altar or not, whenever they want, whenever, in whatever way they feel like it. They speak to me in so many different ways. So I feel like my practice has evolved. And I think it feels more intentional and it feels more aligned with where I am in life right now.
I really like how you talked about spring feeling like a new year and a new beginning, because I think for me, it's kind of similar. I recently wrote in my April newsletter about the transition from winter to spring and watching my plants. So a message I keep getting, similar to you, is like, slow down, chill out, relax, quit trying to do 12 things at once. Be patient. I hate getting be patient, but I have been looking at the trees that are on my street. I've been watching them like slowly transform and fill out. And now like my street looks really beautiful, a whole lot different than it did from a month ago. And so looking at my plants specifically, it has reminded me of the importance of the transition and the importance of stepping away and letting the work work. So I talked about how when you're not looking at the process, it looks like magic. But when you see like a leaf that is slowly unfurling, it's agonizing for me because I'm like, just be a leaf already. But especially for my Monstera, it can take like days, sometimes weeks, for a leaf to unfurl and be big. And if you watch that whole process day by day, it's a lot. But if you like step away from it, if you let the work work, you will have a leaf. And so it was a reminder to me that just like everything takes time. And it helped me to better understand the whole be patient thing when I got it. Cause sometimes, especially when it comes to money, I'll be at the altar like, I need it today. I need it yesterday, actually. But it's like, it takes time. So in terms of my practice as a whole, I think it's definitely changed a lot from when I started to now. Like when I started, I went all out. I bought a whole bunch of stuff. I bought like Florida water. I bought candles. I bought crystals. I bought a lot. And during the early pandemic, I was there every single day because there was a lot of grief. There was a lot of uncertainty, and I felt that I needed daily guidance, daily communion with my spirits. Now I feel more stable than I did back then. I feel more stable emotionally and mentally, and I still try to make it to my altar like once a week and talk to my people. I used to be religious about writing my dreams down, but then I went a little bit where I wasn't really, either I wasn't dreaming a lot or I wasn't remembering my dreams when I woke up, so I didn't write them down for like probably a year. I'm trying to get back into that practice, but there are still days where I wake up and I was like, dang, what was my dream about? And I immediately forget it. When I was in Florida, I found that I felt super connected to spirit when I sat by the water. And so there was this lake park near my old house, and I would bike there. And I would just sit and talk to the water for an hour. I often did that instead of sitting at my ancestral altar. I don't know. I just felt like more connected. And I guess because like the water's moving, it just made me feel like things were moving in my life more, if that makes sense. I guess I haven't done it since I moved here because I have to get in the car to find the nearest lake park. So one day I do plan on doing that. Another one of my favorite spiritual things to do was when I would go to the ocean and just like floating or submerging myself in the ocean. The water just has this energy about it. I don't know what it is. It's like cleansing and relaxing, and it just holds you a certain way. It's just, I haven't been able to find a good replacement for it. Luckily, I'm an hour and a half from the nearest ocean, but it's still a drive for me. So hopefully one day I can get to that too.
I've been telling people, getting in that ocean in Senegal, I can't even describe how it felt submerging my body in it. I had been needing to be touched by the ocean for so long. I just felt hugged, cradled, taken care of. I loved it. So I definitely know what you mean about the water. So this conversation is reminding me of yet another person. Sorry, y'all. This is what I do regularly, but I interview Lucretia Van Dyke, who is the author of African American Herbalism, A Practical Guide to Healing Plants and Folk Traditions. So she just talks a lot about ancestral veneration and hoodoo and other ATRs that have connections to plants and just nature in general. And one thing she really emphasized with herbalism, but I think it applies to a lot of different things, is just starting simple. She also brought up spiritual baths and like how you don't need to overthink it. When it comes to like plant medicine specifically, go outside because Mother Nature gives you the plants that you need in the area where you live. And obviously, you know, going outside and finding plants is complicated, especially if you're in urban areas and you're probably dealing with a lot of pesticides being sprayed on shit to kill things, basically. But essentially, like, it can be as simple as in the state you're in. So even if you're in an urban area, maybe go to different like more rural areas or areas where that are a little more greener and forage. Like, I think it kind of goes back into this conversation of like not letting capitalism infiltrate your spiritual practice. Full disclosure, y'all, I was just talking for like 15 minutes and didn't know it wasn't recording. So just so y'all know, I think this goes back into not letting capitalism infiltrate your spiritual practice. One thing that I've seen hoodoos online do when they're defending hoodoo from people who have like really problematic views on what hoodoo is, they'll say things. I've seen them push back against this idea of using what you got. Maybe they don't realize that's how it comes across, but they'll talk about like there are certain tools, there are rules, there are herbs that you have to have. And this is a part of hoodoo and da 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 da. And I'm not saying it's not, but not everybody has that. Like those of us that are working directly in line with our lineage, some of us come from people who didn't have all these tools. They wasn't making elixirs or they wasn't doing divination in particular ways. Like, and I also, when I think about our ancestors, they didn't have access to these botanical stores and all these different things that we have. They use the things they had access to. And I still believe that is important. They went outside and found things. They used things in their kitchen like cinnamon, black pepper, all these different types of things. And they prayed. And I wholeheartedly, especially the older I get, I believe in good old fashioned praying. I come from praying women. I had an aunt who did the like 5 a.m. who did the 5 a.m. prayer calls. My grandma has told me about literally falling asleep on her knees, praying and crying. Like that is the lineage that I come from. And that's what I want my practice to reflect. Sometimes all I got in me is prayer. And I think that's enough. Sometimes that's what my hoodoo looks like. Prayer, talking to the ancestors. But I say all that to say, it's okay to not have the elaborate, whatever the fuck aesthetic that you think it is to be spiritual or to be a hoodoo or whatever. Like sometimes it's in your best interest to keep it simple. Like there is a such thing as doing too much to the point where you're not even in line with your people. Like just to the point they probably on the other side being like, what is she doing all that for? Like, what is that? We've been over here hollering, trying to get her attention. And she over there putting damn curtains and sparkles and shit on her on the altar. And we over here trying to talk and have some important conversations. So, yeah.
I really like your point about how your spiritual practice should reflect your lineage. Like for you, it's through prayer. I think for me, it's through writing. Like there are so many writers in my family. A lot of them are aspirational. Like my grandma, who's like, I need you to help me publish my book. And I'm like, okay, where's the book you've written? And she hasn't written it. I'm like, you can't publish something that's not written. But yeah, there are a lot of people like my brother, our entire lives, he's like, oh, I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer. And right now I am like helping him develop some of his writing. At least with him, he is writing. But I think for me, I'm the one who has actually been like, okay, let me take the writing classes. Let me read the books. Let me put my work out into the world. Let me try to get this published. I've been the one doing the work. Something that Juju Bay said she had an episode way, way, way back in the day about plants, but weeds in particular, and how they will show up where it's needed. And so something I've noticed is how much dandelion grows in Mississippi and how many people here also have gallbladder issues. I actually started drinking dandelion root tea for my gallbladder issues. It's helped a lot. I also, when I drove to see my family last week, I saw that there was crimson clover everywhere. And I'm not sure what it's for, but I do know it's edible. So I definitely agree with most of this. Like, use what you have. And there's so many things that crop up around you that are there because you may need them, or there because people in your community may need them. Like, the earth gives you what you need, basically. And I do believe that hoodoo is using what you have, because for a lot, and this is where I think it's important to ask questions about the context. Like, people will be like, I have to do it this way because my family's always done it this way. And it's like, has your family always done it that way out of necessity, or because there is a quote unquote only a right way to do it? Have they always done it that way because that's all they had access to, and so they did it that way? Or can you do it a different way? I think that those are important questions to ask. I have been watching a lot of sustainability and anti-haul videos. So I definitely want to echo your point about capitalism seeping into spirituality. Like, capitalism, I think, fuels a lot of this belief that there's a right way and a wrong way to do something. And the right way means you have to pay money for it. So I've been watching these like anti-haul videos, and I really love them because they remind me that the best solutions, not only for like us and our well-being, but also for the environment, it requires us to think creatively about how to not throw money at the issue. And so I've been asking questions like, how do I use what I have to get what I want? Do I actually need this thing that I really, really want? Or is it some outside force telling me that I need it? And so not only are these questions I ask just like when I buy something day to day, but it's also questions I ask in my spiritual life and in my spiritual practice as well. Like, how much of this is something I actually desperately need, and how much of it is some outside force telling me you actually desperately need this? And I think it's so important to detangle and to separate those two.
I don't know why you talking about that reminded me. I don't know. We might not be able to put this in, but I remember one time on our Twitter, someone was admonishing us about like, you deserve to get paid for your labor. When it came to our, like, our podcast or our Patreon, I don't remember what the conversation was, but like, maybe we said something and they were like, no, you should be getting paid. And I guess it kind of goes back into this thing with capitalism. And this is in no shade to anybody, because I do think people deserve to be paid for the labor they put in. That's just the society we live in. People have to take care of themselves. But us, if we were doing this for money, we wouldn't be doing it. Like, we came into this with a very particular purpose because it was something that we cared about. That's why we talk so much about like we talk a lot about capitalism. We be on capitalism's ass. That don't mean we're not participating in it, but like, when it comes to my spiritual life, I really am working through everything don't have to be about money. I do need to survive. I do need to survive though, but like, I don't need to buy my way into spirit hearing me. I don't need to buy my way into my ancestors protecting me and speaking to me. And that's kind of been a part of like, listen, I got to do capitalism, but it's some places in my life I have to resist. I cannot let it consume me to the point where I'm thinking I got to buy certain things in order to connect with the divine. I don't. If I didn't have this apartment, if I didn't have this job, and I have been unemployed, I've been down bad to the point that I had to move back in with my grandma, which is a privilege within itself. But I remember when I felt so alone and I felt like the world was over, I still, something in me still was able to like reach the divine. Really, the divine was able to reach me and say, like, get your ass up. Get up. It ain't over. I don't care how bad you want it to be over. It's not over. You still got work to do. What you just said kind of just reminded me of that. And I just felt the need to say that.
I think my final thought is like, it's okay for a practice to shift over time. Like, we are different people than we were even when we started this podcast. A lot of our views towards spirituality has changed. So it makes sense for our spiritual practices to change. We are different people than we were when we started this podcast. And I don't think there should be any like shame or guilt or any of those negative feelings. I think it's natural and normal.
Amen. Part of this conversation too is just kind of about the way it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on in the world, and it will test your spirit, literally. And we're only human. Sometimes shit gets so bad, you feel like you've been completely abandoned by spirit, or you're witnessing the suffering of these other groups all around the world, and you feel like, has God abandoned them? Like, what's happening? And I just feel like I hope that people understand that you're not wrong or bad for going through that. We're all doing the best we can. And sometimes your soul gets weary. Sometimes you question what's happening in the universe. Your ancestors don't love you any less. They still gonna be there. Mine are still here. And I have to tell you, there was a period of time, as Leah said, we've changed so much throughout the progression of this podcast. There was a period of time where I had turned away from my ancestors. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. You know? And they wouldn't let me. So there's also that. But yeah, so thank y'all for listening. If you like this episode, you can like, rate, and review Hoodoo Plant Mamas on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If anything from the show resonated with you, make sure to share it with us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Hoodoo Plants and Instagram at Hoodoo Plant Mamas. Thank y'all for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.